Most people think dental implants are for everyone, but you might be shocked to learn there's a few things you need to check off the list first. Today, we're talking about the consequences of neglecting missing teeth, the process of evaluating a patient, and the qualifications needed for dental implant candidacy. All that and so much more on today's episode of Dental Implant Talk, Stories of Real Patients. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Blinn. He's a prosthodontist from Nuvia Dental Implant Center in Austin, Texas. So I want to ask you, how does missing teeth affect someone's mouth and everyday life if they decide not to fix it?
Okay, that's the question that a lot of people ask. And let's put it in simple ways. If you're missing one tooth, it can mess the whole bite because it has kind of like the domino effect. So if you, let's say you lose the molar, then the upper molar is going to super rub. And it's going to cause kind of like you're going to lose that one too. You know, you're going to lose your ability to chew, like to eat. And, you know, if you don't eat correctly, then you're going into the malnutrition part. So it can cause a lot of things, you know, a lot of different effects. And like I said, if you don't take care of yourself, then it's just going to become worse because it's not like the condition is going to stop. So domino effect, you lose one, then it's going to go into two, three, four, and then. Yeah, you're going to pretty much lose everything.
So when you decide not to do anything about it, things will, I guess, continually get worse over time, or?
You're correct. They're going to get worse because you're not. So you had an issue. Let's say you had dental decay and then you ended up losing a tooth because of decay and you did not replace that with an implant or, you know, any other method. Things are going to get worse because, you know, you have teeth that are next to it and on top of it. So things are going to shift and you're going to create spaces and then you're going to open spaces for decay. So it gets really, really complicated. People think that it's one little thing, but that little thing can affect the whole mouth. And, you know, it can become really, really complex.
So I know that you're the go-to person before someone gets dental implants. What is your part in the process to figure out if someone's a good fit for their procedure?
So pretty much what I do is when we get a patient who wants to know if he's a candidate, the first thing we do is we get his whole history, you know, medical history. We want to know what conditions the patient has. Is he diabetic? Is he taking bisphosphonates? You know, is he taking any corticosteroids? What's going on? You know, we want to know the medical history. Once that's clear, we move to the second stage. Let's put it this way, is when we actually look at the x-ray. We want to know that he doesn't have any infections, or if he has infections, how big the infections are, how much bone we have remaining. And, you know, we want to kind of like look at the internal things. So we look at the outside, which is the medical history. We look at the internal parts, which is, you know, medical history. I mean, bone, you know, remaining dentition, how many teeth they have, if they have, like I said, infections, what's going on? Kind of like putting all the puzzle pieces together to realize if someone is a candidate.
I don't have enough bone. This can be a common worry when considering dental implants, but what does that actually mean? And is it the only thing that matters?
No, you know, sometimes not having enough bone doesn't mean a lot of things. There are methods that we use to get bone grafts and a lot of other stuff that we do. But what's not enough bone? You know, that's why we have to look at the x-ray. Sometimes people think that they need 20 millimeters of bone, but we can work with 8 millimeters. There's also different configurations that we can do or different techniques to place the implants. So it's hard when people say, oh, I was told that I don't have bone. You know, we need to see it because sometimes not enough bone for someone, it could be enough bone for us. So, you know, that's kind of like what I like people to understand is that we need to know what they have, what conditions, how much bone, and it's a whole package. You know, I just don't tell you this is this. It's like, I want to understand who you are, what are you looking for, what your conditions are, and what can we do to kind of like get you to that good spot, you know? And we take the steps to get you there, which are complicated, but we know how to do them.
Right. So it's much more than, you know, looking at something on paper and checking off like, oh, you're a candidate. It's a lot of different things you need to look at. So can you kind of walk us through the checklist? What is the checklist to see if someone is eligible for dental implants?
So the first things that we do is when someone comes in here, like I said, we look at their medical history. Like, I want to know if they had, if they're diabetics, is their A1C less than 8? Are they taking bisphosphonates? Have they ever had any chemotherapy, radiotherapy? That's kind of like the systemic. And we want to make sure that we know what they have so we can have a protocol to take care of them, you know, because everyone has different ways to kind of like being treated. If you're a diabetic, then, you know, we need to check this. If you took bisphosphonates, we want to know how long were they IV, or was, like, you know, were you taking a little pill? If you had cancer, did you get chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and all this kind of things. After that, you know, we go into the x-ray. We want to make sure that you have, you know, good bone. But, you know, one misconception that people do is they have older teeth and they tell themselves, you know, I don't need this, but they have a lot of mobility because they have severe periodontal disease. So even though you can have all your teeth, but you still might be a good candidate for this, just missing teeth is not one of the indications to have this procedure. There's other things that we need to look into.
What are those other things, if you don't mind me asking?
Things that we look at, like I said, you know, how's your bite? You know, a lot of people sometimes they have rent and carry, so they have a lot of decay in their mouth. And it cannot be taken care of in, you know, a full mouth rehabilitation. That means that we're going to put crowns everywhere. So how's your condition, like your dental condition? That's what we look at. And there's a lot of factors that we look at. Like I said, missing dentition, bone, infection, systemic conditions, all these kind of things will play a factor in making that decision.
I want to mention, we did have a Nuvia patient that was actually on the podcast, and she originally was disqualified from getting dental implants due to her BMI. So can you kind of walk us through, you know, once someone is disqualified, how, like, can someone come back in, or how does that process usually work?
So the BMI is the body mass index. So that means that their body mass index is more than 50. So that means that mostly they're a little bit obese. I'm obese myself, so, you know, so that means that, yeah, that's based on my weight and the whole shenanigans, you know, but that's what it says, because I'm a 30% or something like that. The cutoff for us is 50. So what happened is, if you're more than 50, and we want to make sure, you know, that we don't get any complications with sedation. BMI is too high, it's really simple to bring it down, exercise, diet, and then you can come back after your BMI is low or it's below 50.
Right. So that's good to know that there are some circumstances where, you know, you may be disqualified at this point in time, but it's not letting you from coming back in again and potentially being a candidate after the fact.
You're correct. And we don't disqualify these patients. We let them know, okay, you have this condition and this is what we need to get you to a really good place so we can do the procedure. So let's say if you're a diabetic and your A1C is more than 8, then, you know, we will send you to your physician so they can give you medication and bring that A1C down. You know, if you're taking, you know, bisphosphonates, how long do you take them for, or how long are you going to be off? You know, we know the times, so we can actually take good care of the patient. But some of the conditions are not a DQ, like it's disqualification. It's let's wait, let's get you to the correct place, and then now we can do it. So, you know, at the end of the day, we're looking out for the best interest of the patient. We want to take care of them. So that's what we're looking for. You know, it's not, bone. It's more than that, you know.
Right. Right. So it's making sure the patient is in good condition all around to allow them to go through this procedure.
Yeah. But when you say that they have to be well all around, it's not healthy in the sense that I don't have anything, is based on the guidelines that we have. If you're within the standards, you know, you can have, you know, you can be a diabetic, you can be, you know, have hypertension, you can have all these other things. But if you are within the guidelines, we'll proceed and do the procedures. So don't think that because you're diabetic, you cannot get it, or because you have this, you cannot get it. It's like we have different standards and measurements that we go by to be able to help the patient.
Thank you for clarifying that's really great. And it also, you know, sounds like it really does differ from patient to patient and case to case.
You're correct. Every patient, and I tell everyone this, is a different puzzle that we have to put together, you know, because there's different aspects that we look at. Like I said, you know, what's your age? How's your medical history? What's your bone? You know, how's your tissue? How's everything? You know, we just don't look at one thing. We look at a lot of different things and we come out with a conclusion for every single one of them, you know, just to be able to help them in the best ways possible.
What about any specific reasons or conditions that would like instantly rule out someone from dental implants? Is there any of those?
There's things. That's why it's really complicated when people want to know what are the things. It's like, we need to look at you. We need to know and understand what's going on so we can give you the best treatment plan possible and you can have the best outcome possible. You know, and one of the things I always like people to do is, you know, if they want to come in here and have an evaluation, we have a quiz that is 60 seconds and it was designed to kind of like make things easier for us and understand what's happening. So I think that the best way is to come here, but the first step that you got to do or you have to do is go and do the quiz. And the quiz is going to tell you, yeah, you come over and then we'll take a look. And the quiz is actually in the description below. So if you feel or you have a doubt or you think you might be a candidate, just go ahead and do it. You know, it's free. Why not? You know, and then that will give us kind of like an idea of what's going on. And so what the quiz will do is kind of like tell you if you are a candidate. I always tell people it's the best thing to do is come here so we can actually look at everything ourselves. So just come by, you know, we're nice people. You're going to like us.
Can you explain Nuvia's unique process of permanent teeth in 24 hours? What makes that special?
So what I love about the Nuvia 24C or, you know, zirconium 24 hours is that, you know, when I was doing my residency and everyone, I think we dealt with the denture conversions and we all have done dentures and, you know, I've seen it all. I've seen things that fail. I fixed them and everything like that. But what I like about the process that we do is that we have a metal bar that makes everything so stable that we can load the implants, like we can do immediate loading. And they just look beautiful. Patients don't have to come back so often to have, you know, to have them repair or to have this adjusted or that adjusted, you know, they just come out so beautiful. And the fact that, you know, we get the ability to get all this information beforehand, you know, we get the pictures, we get the x-rays, we get the facial design, put all that together and be able to plan and do everything. So when the day of the surgery comes, we can execute everything and boom, deliver everything 24 hours later. That's just magic. If people understand the old way or the old process, they will understand that takes forever. This is just magic. You know, it's boom, bada bim, bada bum.
Sounds like the people watching should take the 60-second quiz in the description below to get started in that journey. That sounds exciting. I mean, 24 hours, you know, you go in for surgery, and then 24 hours later, you come back, flip that mirror around, and you get to see your smile for the first time. So I think that is incredible and definitely unique to waiting, you know, up to 10 plus months with the other traditional methods.
You're correct. You know, and one of the things I like the most is that I stand by what we do, and I know this is a great product, but what I like the most is seeing the patients and seeing the joy, and they just look different. They have this shine, and you know, they tell me that their quality of life is better, and they're smiling, and then they're happier. That's what I love the most. You know, that's what I do. You know, I do this because of that, and here I get to see it every day. It's just magical. I tell people this all the time because, you know, sometimes we get credit and I get credit alone. And I always tell them it's not just me. It's the front desk, the dental assistants, the general manager, the lab. It's so much people putting their hearts into this to give the patients the best thing that we can give them. But it's not just me. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people involved in this process, which That's the beauty of it. You know, that everything's synchronized. Everything is like a ballerina and everyone is working with a passion. And that's what I love the most. You know?
Now it's time for You Ask, They Answer. We'll have Dr. Blin address specific questions about today's topic straight from the Nuvia Smile Maker Club on Facebook. And if you want your dental implant question to be featured in one of our episodes, you can join our Nuvia Smile Maker Club on Facebook, home to over 11,000 members. Carla says, hello, everyone. I have full dentures, not a tooth in my head. Am I a candidate?
I have to look at her, the whole puzzle pieces. You know, I want to look at her medical history. I want to look at her x-rays. But, you know, we do magic here, so most likely we're going to be able to help her.
So that leads me to the question of, if you already have dentures, can you get full mouth dental implants? Because I know one of the things on the checklist is having enough bone. And I know with dentures, you can lose bone over time, which is one of the, you know, things off the checklist. So can you get dental implants if you've had dentures?
3,000%. We see patients with dentures all day, every day, and we give them the 24C. So, of course, you know, I just have to look at the x-ray and see how everything is. But most likely, like I said, we're going to be able to help them. I'm confident that we can help 99.9% of the patients that come here.
Well, there you go. If you have dentures, you can be a candidate. But once again, you do have to come in to get an x-ray and other things checked out to be able to actually see if you do qualify. We do have one more question. Leah says, what makes you not a candidate? And I know we've kind of covered this topic so far, but do you want to give kind of a general overview of an answer for that question?
What cannot make you a candidate? Okay, let's start by the things that are obvious. If you have perfect dentition and you're missing one tooth, you can probably get a single implant. If you have systemic conditions and you're not seeing a doctor, you're not taking care of it, most likely you're not going to be a candidate. But other than that, you know, I don't see a reason for you not being a candidate. Maybe medication or, you know, like organ transplant. We can always, you know, work around different things. That's why I need to know the medical history. You know, it's like I wish I could give an answer, but the best thing is come here, let me look at your medical history, your x-ray, the whole shenanigans, and boom, you get a better answer. And individual answers, because individual people, individual answers, and it's pieces. No one is the same. You know, God created everyone different. So I don't have an answer for everyone, but to come here and we'll take a look.
That is the end of You Ask, They Answer. But I have one more question for you, Dr. Blin. Do you know of anyone who regretted getting dental implants?
Yeah. You know, my friend Paul, he received dental implants from a different provider. And it didn't go so well. You know, he came to us to see if we could fix it. You can check out if we could right here.